We are New York, talking about what matters to you on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
All right, so that's the news, but it's not my news. All week, I kept thinking about this.
Pummel the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. The eye of the storm moves just east of New Orleans, but the city is not spared.
The city is not spared. Half of America is cut down by a Category 4 hurricane. They almost never happen. Every time you hear, well, the hurricanes are coming, the hurricanes are coming, it's always going to be a Category 4 or 5, and then it arrives as a tropical storm. A sad little tropical storm with too much rain. But not this time. It hit our coast with 150-mile-an-hour wind.
Pummeled the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. The eye of the storm moves just east of New Orleans, but the city is not spared.
Oh my gosh, I look at the weather maps. I see the devastation every now and then online, mostly at The Daily Mail. The Daily Mail, a UK-based publication, has the best photographs, the best video, the best news about our catastrophes. Our catastrophes. I go to turn on the TV. I look at many different channels and to find out about the hurricane. And what do I find out about?
And we stand for our flag. This election is a battle for the soul of America. Your choice is clear.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice, but what about this?
Pummel the coasts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. The eye of the storm moves just east of New Orleans, but the city is not spared.
Yes, a city that's already underwater is now more underwater. The communities around it, which are swamps, are now more underwater. And all I can get on the news is...
And we stand for our flag. This election is a battle for the soul of America. Your choice is clear.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
I don't get it. Here, let me share a secret about programming television and radio with you. For years, I used to wear wingtip shoes. I had a Brooks Brothers suit. I wore a tie. John Weatherby, real meteorologist, isn't that right? Didn't I wear wingtip shoes, a Brooks Brothers suit, and had white shirts?
Yep, that's all true.
Well, I used to send out memos. And the memos I used to send out, which people took seriously, and I'll never understand why, but they used to take very seriously, always said, if it's snowing outside, talk about the snow. If there's any doubt, if there's a hurricane, big weather, snow, if it's snowing outside, talk about the snow. The hurricane was the snow. I turn it on. I listen to the big shows, the little shows, the cable shows. And what do I hear?
And we stand for our flag. This election is a battle for the soul of America. Your choice is clear.
What America? It was almost washed away. The southeastern part of the country was almost washed away. And then, just in case it didn't get your attention, the hurricane decided to blanket the Midwest. It blanketed the Midwest and then slammed Washington, D.C. And tonight, slammed New York City. John Weatherby, a real meteorologist, friend of Sterling on Saturday, welcome to the big show. What is the status of the hurricane right now? Because when it's snowing outside, I talk about the snow.
That's right. And we talk about the rain, now pummeling portions of Philadelphia and coming across central New Jersey later tonight. It's now a remnant low. It's much weaker. The winds are only peaking about 16 miles an hour, but still heavy rain. So from that storm track from Lake Charles, Louisiana, up across Arkansas, through Kentucky, across the Appalachians, Virginia, Washington, D.C., now that storm will start to move offshore. We still have a 30% chance of showers in our forecast. It looks like the heaviest rain will be south of the city at this point. Westchester, you're likely to stay dry tonight. Long Island, you're likely to stay dry. But here's the next part. Bingo card time. It looks like Laura may form and reform again back in the Atlantic. Remember Carl 2-3 weeks ago, a low that came off the Carolina coast and suddenly became a tropical storm? Well, that measly little tropical storm really goofed up the shipping lanes for a long time, and Laura may do that. Let's keep on the tropics. There are two more storms that we as the weather guys, the weather geeks are watching, both taking the track like Marco and Laura took coming across the Atlantic. The first now approaching the central Leeward Islands, probably headed toward the Yucatan Peninsula, eventually maybe into the Texas coast. That may be the weak little tropical storm Walter was talking about. The second one behind it is moving much slower, and most of the initial models are suggesting this may become something more important, but not until the latter part of next week. So the tropics are still busy tonight, including the folks in Louisiana, over 500,000 still without power. Evacuation zones are still in force. People can't get back to their homes yet. That story will continue for several days and weeks and even months. Our forecast gets better. If I can do the weather real quickly for our friends in New York and the tri-state area.
Oh, no. Pause, because it sounds like you haven't breathed in 8 or 9 minutes. Take it easy, John. John Weatherby, real meteorologist. By all means, give us a real forecast for New York City.
Sure. Because I'm really anxious to do this. I want to hear the rest of this. Sunshine for tomorrow. Northwest winds 11 to 14. That's a little strong, a little breezy. High of 78 in town. It'll even be lower than that out on Long Island. Mostly clear, 65 Sunday night. Monday, mostly sunny, 74. Next chance of showers, not till Monday. Tuesday has a little better chance of rain. But tonight, watching the remnants of Laura go away. Just a 30% chance of showers in the city. I would say the Jersey Shore has a better chance of showers tonight. And in New York, it's 78 degrees on WABC.
Tell me about the weather at the shore. Do you have any more detail about the weather at the Jersey Shore?
I can tell you it's an offshore breeze that's going to come through southwest. It may gust up to 22, but more likely to stay in the teens. The temperature will fall as the rain goes by, and that should happen in the next hour or two. If somebody's out on the beach right now in the darkness, I suppose that's possible. Sure, you never know what's going on. If there's somebody out on the beach, they need to pay attention for some stronger thunderstorms that will march through. There's currently a severe thunderstorm warning from Allentown down to almost Philadelphia, and it's pushing off to the east very quickly at 35 miles an hour. That will impact the Jersey Shore later tonight.
The 35-mile-an-hour front that's in Allentown pushing through to Philadelphia, when it gets to the Jersey Shore, how much wind will there be? Will it still be 35 miles an hour or not so much?
Oh, no. No, 35 is the speed that the storm is moving. The actual wind should be less than 20. I would say gusts up to 16, which can be pretty substantial. It's enough to pick up some sand and get it in your eyes and that kind of thing, but nothing extreme at all.
John Weatherby, I appreciate your perspective on the hurricane, because no matter how many times I listen to big radio shows or watch big TV news networks, all I ever heard was...
And we stand for our flag.
Like, shut up. I don't care about you. Shut up.
And we stand for our flag.
It doesn't matter what she's saying. Who wants to hear that? Who the heck would want to hear that over and over again? Could you imagine that? Holy crow, what a nightmare. No, thank you. I needed to hear about the hurricane cutting halfway through the country. How could this have been missed? Every time I turned to the so-called snooze channels, I didn't see anything about this, like maybe 10 minutes here. And then they did the stupid coverage. When you go to a live reporter in the middle of a hurricane, I want the cameraman to pan the scene. I want to see what's going on. I never see what's going on. What do I see? I see a moron standing in 100-mile-an-hour winds telling me to stay safe. Like, what? Why don't you stay safe? Why don't you get in the building and then shoot out from the glass? We'll understand why you don't want to stand in 100-mile-an-hour winds. It's insane how they cover the hurricanes, because you know what, John? They don't cover them. The way to cover them is to put the camera out there and pan it. Let's see the scene. Go from where the water is inland to where the cheap hotel is and their sign is on the floor, and then to the Walmart, which is always bashed in. The picture windows in the Walmart, they're bashed in. And then you see like a sad gas station, always a Marathon gas station, where the sign is on the ground. Okay, show me that. Don't show me you standing in the wind, because I get it. I don't need to see you standing in the wind. And it's unbelievable. But now, just one more thing. And I'm only doing this because it's a hurricane. It's a Category 4 hurricane. One more thing. Is it my imagination, or does the weather.com site suck? The weather.com site is awful. And it used to be really good. And now it's got one sad little picture of the map that's very hard to understand and really hard to blow up. And every time I try to do anything with it, I get a new ad for Humira. I don't want any Humira. Pray I don't need Humira.
Yes. Well, it's a challenge, I'm sure. There's a lot of other ads, too, you don't want. So.
I know, but there are licenses involved. But listen to me.
Yes, that's true.
Am I right? You're a meteorologist. Is the weather.com site horrible now?
I'm not going to say that I'd follow WABC radio.
What are they
going to
do to you, John? What are they going to do to you, John?
That's true. Nothing. But the things I need to know, WABCradio.com, that's the way to go. And even when the storm was hitting Louisiana, all the information was right there.
At WABC.com. Thank you for being my friend, John.
WABC Radio.
WABCRadio.com. WABCRadio.com. Thank you, David Labrosi. Thank you for constantly reminding me. I appreciate
Thank them all.
That. You're the best. Oh, I thank them all every day. When I get on my knees, I do the rosary. I thank Chad Lopez, David Labrosi, all of them. Thank you. Craig Kitchen, thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God. And John Katz. I'll go through the whole list very soon. I have each of their names on a different bead. Thank you very much, John.
Have a great night.
All right, 916 at WABC, 916 at WABC. Now, when you call in, if Mike Lindell is annoyed at you...
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
That's how you know the call is over. Here's what I want to talk with you about tonight, because this bothers me. And coming up in just seconds, we're going to hear from my 17-year-old daughter, Dorothy, who's at Syracuse University, who's been under quarantine, had food brought to her like a prisoner, allowed outside for 2 hours a night, and tested constantly to make sure she's pure. It's like she's what's the word I want? A princess in medieval times. 888-688-888. No, 800-848-WABC. Why doesn't it? How come he keeps making that mistake? 800-848-WABC. Here's what I want to talk about. In the past few weeks, 2 weeks, seven people of note, including the vice chairman of NBC and the CEO of McDonald's, a sacred institution if there ever was one, and an announcer for the Cincinnati Reds, and a newsman on a station in Cleveland, and a ball player for some big play. Five people have been let go of their jobs for saying one or two words or acting in a way that's inappropriate, like Jerry Falwell Jr., acting in a way that's inappropriate, according to somebody. But none of them have been fired for failing to do their job. None of them have been fired for failing to do their job. They either said something stupid, one or two words, not something illegal, slanderous, obscene. No, just stupid, just morons. Things guys would say at a bar at midnight when it's time to go home. Got to catch the train. Stupid stuff. Now they're caught on Twitter. Now they've said it to somebody on a hot mic. A hot mic! They shouldn't be fired for it. As a country, we have lost our sense of humor. But here's where the real problem is. You know what censorship is? Censorship is not only don't say something because it's being censored by the government or by an institution. It's prior censorship. You get to a point where you're so afraid that you're not going to say anything. Good, bad, indifferent. You're not going to say nothing. That is a very serious form of censorship. You know why? Because it changes the way you and I think. We waste time putting new wires into our heads. We waste time putting new wires into our brains to adjust for the climate in which we live. In just a second, I'm going to share with you what Joan Rivers had to say about this insanity. This insanity. All right, my name's Walter Sterling. I get to be with you 1 hour a week. No, really, that's what I said. I got to tell you, funny story. My manager, who will remain nameless, calls me up 6 weeks ago and says, all right, so I got you 1 hour a week on WABC. And I'm sorry I didn't get you three. I'm like, I didn't know you were trying to get me one. It was like a surprise. It was a gift. It was an extra something in the stocking. It was a gift. I'm like, this is great. It's a seat at the table. It's an honor to be on WABC, especially now that John Katsimatidis owns it. Because finally, somebody who loves radio owns this radio station, as opposed to somebody who's trying to suck out every single expense from this business, which is no way to grow a business. You can't save your way to success. Didn't we learn that in MBA school? Didn't we learn that in MBA land? Dumbest people I know have MBAs. And so John Katsimatidis loves radio. Next week, from 6 to 9 on Saturday night, Cousin Bruce Morrow. And I have the privilege of following his show. What a privilege to come on after Cousin Bruce Morrow. That starts Labor Day weekend, next Saturday night, 6 to 9, here on 77 WABC. Coming up in seconds, my daughter from Syracuse University will reveal all about being in quarantine at a college. This is WABC.
We are New York, talking about what matters to you on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
Oh, how much fun is this? 923 at WABC. Dorothy Sterling is at Syracuse University. Dorothy is the proud daughter of me. And I understand this is going to be the last week that you're going to be on, Dorothy.
Oh, really?
Well,
why is that?
Because you reminded me that it's Saturday night and you're in college.
Yes, I did.
And as a college student, Saturday night is sacred ground.
It is indeed sacred ground.
Now, I know you don't want to be embarrassed, but I'm going to ask, are there any social prospects at this time?
I am about to leave to go hang out with some people.
Yes. Look at that. Look on my screen, by the way, just now. The phone screener thing crashed, and I got Mark Levin's screener. And so that would probably go like this. Well, you know, the Democrats are horrible. The Democrats are horrible. They do terrible things. Yes. Dorothy, you went up there 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. You were in quarantine the first 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Spell out what that meant. What did it mean to be in quarantine at Syracuse University?
Well, it meant staying in my room for 24 hours a day. Well, actually, we had our 1 hour of allotted time outside, but stayed inside all day, could not interact with other people that were not on your floor, could barely interact at all, really. You had to wear a mask at all times, of course. No more than hanging out with five people. We had to eat the awful lunch that they provided. Meanwhile, we all had to pay $1,000 to do this fun little prison experiment.
And How did it make you feel?
Oh, it made me feel lonely, sad. It was awful. It was my first time away from home from my parents, and I couldn't even go outside.
You know, should we sue them?
No, we paid to do that. We can't sue them.
Can we sue them? Wouldn't that be a reasonable thing?
I don't think that would be a reasonable thing. I think that would be the opposite of reasonable.
Well, I have to type this in. You talk. I have to type this in because my computer's crashed. And it wasn't the computer that's mine. It's the computer that's the station's. Just a second. View monitor. Okay. Now, we can talk about the insanity of kids being quarantined. Here's your number, 800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC. Everyone who calls in tonight gets a chance to guess the mystery voice. And if you get it right, you win a prize announcement. And if you annoy me, you will have annoyed Mike Lindell.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
You don't want to annoy Mike Lindell. You're at Syracuse, New York. As a New Yorker, how do you find the shopping compared to New York?
Well, we have one little sad strip called Marshall Street, where there's really just two Syracuse merchandise stores and a pizza place, along with, of course, the obligatory Chipotle and Starbucks. And then a thrift store at the end of it. So really, really cool stuff. You could even argue that it was better than the city.
And the mall, do they have a real mall?
They do have a really nice mall.
Oh, really?
They do have a really nice mall.
Do you have a car?
No, I do not have a car. Of course not. No. Freshmen cannot have cars. My roommate just went, what? When I said that the Marshall Strip was better than New York City.
Well, she's from Queens.
She is from Queens.
Now everything in New York City is closed, so it's really a moot point.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, this is the question I'm always asked. What percent of your classes are online today? Even though you're there, what percent of classes are online?
Pretty much 90% of them.
You're going to a college that charges about $50,000 a semester.
No. Oh, yes. First semester.
And you have most of your classes online. You could technically do your classes from home.
Which I've been debating because this is ridiculous.
You might come home.
Yes.
Well, there's a threat.
What's the point?
There's a very, that's a pretty serious threat that you might come home. Well, is there anything we can send to you in a care package, Dorothy Sterling at Syracuse University? Is there anything you need?
Let's see. What do I need? Oh, I could just use a lot more food.
Yeah, but you say that. Tell me what kind of food.
You know, food.
Well, Oreos or filet mignon.
Oreos or filet mignon? Yeah, that sounds like a right balance.
But you can't. Can you cook anything?
I have a microwave.
Microwave.
I can put the filet mignon in the microwave.
All right, Dorothy Sterling. I love you, Dorothy.
I love you, too.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dorothy Sterling at Syracuse University revealing to us that 90% of her classes are online, even though she's there and suffered through a quarantine. What sort of geniuses came up with this? Who would have come up with this? 800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC. Coming up, all these idiots who said something stupid and got themselves fired, I say they shouldn't have been fired for it. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is WABC.
WABC, New York. We We are New York on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
933-933 at WABC. Walter M. Sterling, I have the drive-thru brew for you. The usual edition. My view of the horror known as public radio. And I've got the best. A New York City retired police detective who has real cop stories, the kind of cop stories you'd hear at a bar. And we will end the half hour with what we always end with as New Yorkers. We will end up in Florida. That's coming up. I was stunned and amazed at Jerry Falwell Jr. having shenanigans with the pool boy. This was some story, right? This was an amazing story. It goes on the list of shenanigans at McDonald's. The CEO of McDonald's was let go because of, quote, inappropriate behavior. And so was the head of HR. The head of HR, the guardian of morality, was also let go at McDonald's at the same time. But no one is revealing what the inappropriate behavior is. Then an announcer for the Cincinnati Reds. Then an announcer for the Kansas City Somethings. Then an announcer for the Golden State Nuggets, then an announcer for a newsman. And they were all instantly let go. For what? Breaking the law? Slander? Not really. They were fired for being stupid. They were fired for being stupid. I have never trusted the guardians of morality, the people who call themselves human resources, ever. Because I believe that in order to be morally sound, in order to have a moral center, a person has to have imagined the career that they have in high school. I have never met a corrupt fireman. Have you? Captain Patrick Brown, my dear friend, who was murdered on September 11th, my dear friend, helped me hundreds of times, helped other guys hundreds of times. This was a special man. All his life, all he wanted to be was a fireman, Captain Patrick Brown. And he was murdered on September 11th. Untouchable. The man was walking ethics because he got to be a fireman. I have never known a corrupt commercial airline pilot because they get to be airline pilots. They're not going to do anything to jeopardize that. The captain of a great yacht, They don't want to do anything to jeopardize their license of piloting a great yacht. That captain on Below Deck Mediterranean, Captain Yawn, what a terrible name. She's got all these rules and regulations because she's not going to lose the opportunity to captain that yacht. She is not going to do anything to risk it. But nobody in high school ever said, you know, I really want to be the head of HR. They never said, I want to be a venture capitalist. Never. Every disc jockey I know practiced being a disc jockey in their room when they were 15. Like me, I practiced being on WABC in my room at 15. I didn't get paid when I was 15. How is that different today? But every disc jockey I know practiced in their room when they were 15. And then they got to be a disc jockey. It was the best thing ever. But no head of human resources practice being head of human resources. Can you imagine sitting there when you're 15 in middle school and going, well, you know, would you fill out these forms for me? I made up some pretend forms. Could you fill them out for me and let me slow things down? Because what else does HR do? They slow things down. And then when you're done filling out the form, I'm going to snitch on you, because that's what HR does. They snitch on you. There shouldn't be HR. There should be a benefits administrator. A kindly person who says things like, I will try to get you the most benefits possible. I'll do whatever I can to get you the most benefits possible. But I believe this very strongly. Unless it was integral to their job, Ron Myers, the vice chairman of NBC, nothing in the articles about his shenanigans with an actress indicated in any way interfered with his job. Now, maybe something was going on that potentially extorted NBC, but we don't know. We don't know. It may have put NBC in a difficult legal position, but nothing indicated that. He was just screwing around, allegedly. And that seems to have affected his wife more than anybody. Now, this Jerry Falwell, he affected his wife. It seems that his wife was celebrating this, allegedly. And he was fired for this. He resigned. I don't think he should have. Apparently, Liberty University is a fine school. Terrific kids go there. They get a good education. Why would you fire the guy for that? He likes to hang around with the pool guy.
A Harvard dropout. A Harvard hopeful.
I need to get that scholarship.
Do you know anything about aquatic engineering? It's not as glamorous as you think.
Roger! What are you doing swimming?
This summer in Beverly Hills.
Keep an eye on the place while we're gone. We'll be back in about 6 weeks.
A pool master.
If I ask myself, self, what would Jesus do?
Jesus would open a brothel.
We'll give a beginner.
Hi.
Hi.
A real education. The Pool Boys.
A real movie in 2005. And it was about a Christian-oriented school, Christian-oriented educator who goes on vacation. And he asks his students to take care of the place. And the guy is made up to look like Jerry Falwell. I'm like, how could this have happened? How could this have movie happened? And what a great thing to celebrate. It's called Pool Boys because I know you want to watch it. But I don't believe anybody should be fired for anything other than doing their job poorly. If they broke the law in some other context, okay, that's different. But none of these people seem to have broken the law. They did stupid things. They should not be fired. I'm sure of it. 800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC, because we have lost our sense of humor. There's no wiggle room. All those people who were fired last week for saying two words did not commit slander, did not break the law, did not do anything except say something stupid. And 20 years ago, 10 years ago, would not have been noticed. And it's all stuff that you and I have said at a bar late at night. Not, I'll tell you what, 10 p.m. stuff, not midnight stuff, 10 p.m. stuff at a bar. Now, nothing is tolerated. Joan Rivers had a really good perspective on this.
Well, what about when it is about something, you know, that really does seem off limits to a lot of people? I mean, even in your book, you kind of joke about the death of Casey Anthony's baby, Princess Diana surviving so many landmines and who she dated. I mean, do right. you feel like there are boundaries ever, you know, even if it Let makes people uncomfortable or offend people or what?
Life is very tough. And if you can make a joke to make something easier and funny, do it.
The reason I hate HR people so much, I made a key mistake at a key point in my life. I was at a three-letter company, and I was having a hell of a horrible time with an executive. Really had a hard time, and he was quasi below me on the organization chart. It was one of those stupid dotted line things. And I gave up. And I went to the head of HR, then called personnel, and I said to him, look, I can't get along with this guy. I mean, this is just hell. And they said, well, we have somebody here who is actually good at mitigating these sort of concerns. We have somebody here who's actually trained to deal with these sort of things. And why don't you go to lunch with her and lay out the problem? Okay. I go to lunch with this woman and I tell her every single problem I had with this person, every single problem I had for like 90 minutes. For like 90 minutes, I laid out every single thing I couldn't stand about this executive. She looks at me and says, well, you know, okay. I go back to my office And a guy who works for me comes into my office and shuts the door and says, by the way, Walter, did you know that this woman and this guy are having trysts at lunch? And I had just dumped my soul out to her. And I said, what? What? Now, at no time during lunch did she say, you know, really, you should keep it to yourself. He's a good friend of mine. No, no. She let me go on and on and on and on. My secretary comes into my office a little later. And I said, do you know who's sleeping with each other? And she looks at me. She's one of these very proper, Queen's secretary. She looks at me and she goes, oh, everybody knows that. Like, what do you mean everybody knows that? Why don't I know that? But every HR person I've ever known, not everyone, but I've known three that had the ultimate in corruption. One guy I knew had a limo. Get this. He had a limo that could take him home. And he had his assistant or butler or something load up the limo with wine and had the driver take it to his home 80 miles away on a Friday night. The driver couldn't get a night off, couldn't get a Friday night off. He had the guy load up wine in the limo from the company cafeteria, from the executive dining room, and take it to his home. Okay, he lost his job over that. That's the kind of stories I have with the heads of HR. 800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC. Those are the things you should get fired for, not for saying weenie on the air, not for making a stupid reference on the air. No, not for putting out a dumb tweet. You put out a dumb tweet, and then all these guys who got fired last week for their dumb tweets and slips of the tongue begged for forgiveness. I didn't mean it. I apologize. It was a mistake. It was an honest mistake. They meant it. I believed them. All of them. No, they're never going to get their jobs back. They are not. Now, the head of McDonald's, he had inappropriate behavior. He had inappropriate behavior. We don't know what it is. We don't know what his behavior was. But I am puzzled by women who complain about this inappropriate behavior rather than deal with it in some way. Now, maybe they tried to. But it seems to me a high-level executive at McDonald's could do what she needed to do, which is to look him in the eyes, kick him in the nuts, call his wife, and then call the police. That's the appropriate response. If it's that inappropriate, and let's assume it is, you kick him in the nuts, call his wife, and call the police. That's what I've taught my three daughters under the age of 18 to do. That's what you do. You can't say, you know, I want to be the chairman of the board if you can't do that. And you should be the chairman of the board. You got to be able to kick him in the nuts, call his wife, and then call the police. 800-848-WABC is my number. I'm Walter Sterling. It's 9:46. And listen, I have a killer Facebook page. Now, the sales department is very, very emphatic that I have to promote my Facebook page. Please do that and put as many likes as you can. Wherever you see the opportunity to put a like, do it. You see an opportunity to put a like, do it. Walter M. Sterling is the Facebook page. Walter M. Sterling is the Facebook page. You got it? And then if you send me an email, I answer every email because I have nothing to do, nothing. Walter M. Sterling at Facebook, Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. Now, these Upper West Siders, what are they doing? They're all announcing they're leaving. They're leaving the city. But at no time have they ever considered, does anybody want them? You think rural America wants them? I don't think so.
The drive-thru brew. Drive your car into the little building and suddenly you're wrapped in beer. It's overwhelming. Now manager reveals news to beer hand Jake.
Oh no, those New Yorkers are leaving the city and coming here. They are coming here.
Here? What would a New Yorker want here?
Your job. Look at this application from an Upper West Sider. It says she's an expert in portobellos, truffles, craft beer, and Percocet and Tramadol, which is called Percocet Light.
Are those beers?
Upper West Siders in the beer bar? It can't end well. That's next time.
I haven't seen any big drops in rent. Is that my imagination? There haven't been any big drops in rent. I love it on the Lower East Side when they got an apartment, put in new sheetrock, take a one-bedroom, divide it in half. Now you have a 5x8 cell, and they call it a two-bedroom. I mean, what's that? Oh, and it's $3,200 a month. Doesn't sound like a great bargain to me. Not a great bargain to me. Do we have fun on this show? I think we can talk about other things. I think that's the lesson, but I'm serious. I don't see any reason why these people who said one or two dumb things have to blow a 30 or 40 year career for being stupid for two words. Where is forgiveness? These people have begged for forgiveness. The guy with the Kansas City Royals, the Cincinnati Reds, the radio station in Cleveland, they have begged for forgiveness, practically on their knees. Where's the Christian part of this, where they can be forgiven? Why doesn't that equate? Instead, no, they're going to be fired right now. This is never, and it's always the same line. We have zero tolerance for this kind of thinking. Zero tolerance. We won't tolerate it. When you're me and you're talking about these subjects, there is always the risk that someone will think, I think what they said is okay. I don't think what they said is okay. I just don't think it's worth firing them over. That's a lot of experience success you're throwing out the door. Coming up in just seconds, a retired New York City police detective, Vic Ferrari, with a fantastic cop story. This is 77 WABC.
We are New York, talking about what matters to you on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Walter M. Sterling.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story from my new book, Grand Theft Auto, the NYPD's Auto Crime Division. So in the mid-90s, with the boom of the internet and e-commerce, people began selling their vehicles on Craigslist and eBay. Well, a victim comes to our office and he says, listen, I purchased a car about 2 months ago, and I think the woman that sold me the car stole it back. So he explains that he had seen the car listed for sale on Craigslist. He went to see it. He took it for a test drive. He negotiated a price with this woman, and he purchased it. But now he sees, you know, now that he got his car stolen, he goes on Craigslist again and he sees his car. He's almost positive it's the same car with the phone number, you know, from the woman that sold it to him. So we went, and sure enough, the car is parked in front of the woman's house, and we arrest her. And the scam worked like this. What she would do is she would list a car for sale on Craigslist, and she would always have a duplicate set of keys, and she would always order a duplicate title from DMV. Then what she would do is she would sell the car to somebody, ask them enough questions to know where they live, and then wait a month or so, go back, steal the car, right? She had the title for it because she had a duplicate title. She would walk into a police station and convince some cop it was all a misunderstanding. I'm the owner of this car. I don't know how it was reported stolen. And if she shopped around enough, she'd find a cop that would cancel an alarm on the car. So when we went to arrest her, she didn't take it well, and she was all bent out of shape. And I says, well, I guess crime didn't pay. She goes, well, it did for a while.
You know, people rarely take it well when you arrest them. There's Samantha, age 8, going across Pennsylvania, and her mom, Katie, two beautiful women. Michael in Queens, you're on WABC at 800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC. Michael, hey.
Yes, Walter, I'd like to get your take on this. I was just listening to you talking about people losing their jobs after 30, 40 years because they said two stupid things, and I would like your take on this. I used to work with an older gentleman, and he had some physical problems that were not work-related. So it kind of slowed him down, and management was always pushing people, and they would cry if you worked 1 minute overtime. You know, and after a while, the manager called him in the office and said, listen, you have to speed it up. You know, we can't be paying you overtime. You know, you have an eight-hour job, and that's it. And they could see he had physical problems, but like I said, they weren't work-related, so the company didn't care. So the gentleman says to the manager, do you know why I have this here overtime? Because the Lord wants me to have it. And the manager replied, don't bring religion into the workforce. This is a corporation. This has nothing to do with religion.
What was the work?
It was manual labor.
It was manual labor.
Yes. And he was an older gentleman with obvious physical problems.
Right. I'll tell you something. It was a crappy argument for him to use, because he knew there was nothing your boss could do with that argument. They couldn't respond in any meaningful way. It was all trapdoors. Anything your boss said would be a trapdoor. It was not a fair argument for him to present. If he had said, I need the extra overtime because I am dedicated to doing a good job for you, that's different. If he said, I have a slight handicap, can you help accommodate my handicap, and then I don't have to put in the overtime. But that was a lousy argument for that guy to give.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
800-848-WABC, 800-848-WABC. I don't understand how somebody can work for a company for 10, 20, 30 years, one day say one or two stupid words that are not slanderous or illegal or indecent or obscene and get fired. I don't get it. And I don't like the grandstanding of, well, we don't tolerate any of that nonsense. We won't tolerate any of that. It's not fair. It's wrong. You hear that? That's the sound of an RCA 77 being screwed into place. But that's how I feel. I don't think anybody should be fired for anything except doing a bad job. That's the only reason somebody should be fired. That's it. You don't get fired for saying, we won't tolerate any of that, woo. And then you find out that the keepers of morality, HR people, have pretty lousy morality, usually. They usually are weaseling around the rules all the time, because why? Just like everybody else who gets to be a keeper of morality, they think they're above it. It's true every single time. You look at that Jerry Falwell Jr. guy. He thought he was above it, but I don't think he should be fired. Did he break the law? No. Was he? Was his wife annoyed? It doesn't seem she was annoyed. It seems she was entertained by him fooling around. Not clear. All of that's unclear. Anytime you say pool boy, it's like, whoa, what's that? Sounds exciting. No, he's just cleaning the pool. He's just cleaning the pool. There are all kinds of jokes I could use, but I haven't been here long enough. But I will be. Now, let's you and I stay in touch, okay? You got that? It's important for you. Go to my Facebook page, Walter M. Sterling. Like, click, whatever you do there. And then I send out tweets. They're stupid. Those are the best kinds of tweets, right? And I answer every email, Walter M. Sterling. But I'm so excited that next week from 6 to 9 p.m., Saturday night, Cousin Bruce Morrow. I've had a long career with Cousin Brucey. I'm the guy, I'm the guy who recruited him to Sirius Satellite Radio. It was one of the eight or nine smartest things I ever did. But if you ask my wife, my list of things that are very smart is much longer. The things my poor wife has to listen to. And he's a remarkable man. Besides being a great radio personality, he was so smart of John Katz and Chad Lopez to hire him, Dave Labrosi to hire him. Smartest thing they could have done. Smartest thing, because what does it mean to have Bruce Morrow? It means that the station is committed to celebrating radio. Who bigger in radio than Bruce Morrow? Nobody. Celebrating radio. He is sugarcoating on every single thing we do. I am so proud to be at this radio station. I'm so proud to get to share Saturday nights with you. This is 77 WABC.